Come on, did God create you? All right. God created you. God created each one of us. Each one of us is special. Each one of us is unique. And God wants to use us to do something. And we've been in this series called Servolution. And I've been in this 40-day study. I've been excited about this. I hope you're enjoying it. This is what? Is it week five? Am I right? Is it week five? Week five? Is this week five? I'm trying to remember now. I appreciate your patience. And I want to begin with this. I appreciate your patience. And I appreciate your encouragement because I shot my own videos this time. I do not know if I'm going to do it again next time. I'll do it again, but I don't know if I'm going to do it again next time. You know, as you sit there watching yourself, I feel I'm kind of like, I'm glad to see you this morning. I hope you are enjoying your study. I was kind of melancholy in that videos. I didn't seem to have much excitement as I do usually when I share God's word. But I had a lot of fun making them. But I want to say thank you for enjoying them and your kind words about them. And so I really appreciate that. I just love you guys because you put up with me. Some of you have been here for a long time. 31 years I've been here. And you've seen me through 31 years of this. And I just appreciate the love. And I hope you know I love you guys and I love the church. But what I love most about this study is some of you are sharing your stories. You're telling me about some of the service things. See, our challenge is that God called us to serve one another. Serve one another. We have a statement we've been saying in our church. You need a ministry in the church and a mission in the... All right, so you guys are with me. Yeah. And we've been talking about serving one another. I enjoy those stories. So what I did this week, if you look in your worship folder, open that worship folder up, you get the outline of the message this morning. Pull that out. You want to follow along with that. There's some scriptures and some blanks to fill in. But also, the very first thing is my story. I want to hear some stories from you this week. So maybe you can drop it in the offering bag this morning. You know, don't write while I'm preaching. That kind of distracts me. Well, I don't know if it's going to distract you, but it does distract me. You know? But, you know, email me. But tell me how God is you. Like I said, I've enjoyed hearing. Some of you said, I've done this and I've done that. And you shared some of those stories. So I want to hear more of those stories from you. So I put that in there. Let me know what God is doing and how God has used you to touch somebody's life or maybe how serving somebody has touched your life and kind of share those stories with me and let me know what God is doing and how God is working. But this week we had an election. How many people voted? Come on. If those are 18 and older, how many of you voted? All right. All right. I like that. I have never missed an election since I have been 18 years old. I have voted every year since I've been 18. But I'm going to tell you this. Does it really make a big difference? Now, some things are going to change. A few things are going to change. But are really going to change the direction of the United States with an election? Yeah. You know, it's going to make a little difference. And what I want to talk about this morning, if we're really going to change the world, it's going to take more than an election. You might think I'm simplistic, but I really believe this. I really believe the only way we're going to change America is by changing each individual, one individual at a time, with the message of Jesus Christ. That's my belief. Now, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to vote for certain candidates based on my values, based on my principles. I'm going to vote. But I understand this. Yeah, it's going to change a few things in America. Better, different, worse, I don't know. You know, I'm not quite sure, but I know this. That what the world needs is not a new politician. What the world needs is Jesus Christ. A compassionate, loving, forgiving God. And that's what I want to challenge us with this morning. I want us to think about this morning. That we are here as a salt and a light in this world. That we as believers, that we have made a decision to follow God. And in that decision that we live in a broken world. This world is broken. Would anybody deny that? That this world is broken. You know, there's health issues and there's financial struggles and there's stress at school and we just keep going on with the things going on. Broken relationships. You know, we live in a broken world. And the only healing is going to come is through Jesus Christ and that love, compassion, and forgiveness that he has. And so I want us to think about that this morning. And I want to read a little passage here as Jesus paints that picture for us. That's one thing I enjoy about reading God's word is Jesus used words to paint pictures. And I want you to see what he's saying here. He's just finished starting the Sermon on the Mount. He's just finished the Beatitudes. Anybody familiar with the Beatitudes? You know, those Beatitudes. You know, he's talking about the right attitude you need to have. Yeah. And so he just finished that, and then he begins to say this. I want you to look at what it says here. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its salty taste, it cannot be made salty again. It is good for nothing. It's said to be thrown out and walked on. You are the light that gives light to the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. And people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so that light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Now listen to this. Live so that they will see the good things you do and will praise your Father in heaven. I want you to see the picture Jesus paints here. He's saying that we are a salt and a light. Now, just so you know, those of you in home groups, if you're not in one, you can still join one. There's only two lessons left, but you can still jump right in our home groups Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Friday evening, Sunday afternoon. We have all these groups going on. I'm going to let them talk about salt. So if you want to know about that salt element of what it says here, you need to plug into the lesson. I want to talk about the light. That God has called us to be a light. That we're to be a light in this world. We are in a dark world, a broken world, and he's called us to be a light. And here's the problem that I have made, and maybe you've made, or I've seen the Christians or the church make. And it really became evident to me as I was working on last week's message. I kind of laid some of the foundation for this one. We have used as our witness, as my belief in God, as my testimony that I'm a Christian, our righteousness. That, you know, I don't share Jesus too much. I don't tell other people about Jesus, but I'm going to live my life so they see God in me and they'll want to be a Christian. And when we say that they see God in me, what we were talking about is our righteousness. They'll see me behaving right, acting right, not using bad words, not stealing, not lying. And we use that, our righteousness has been that light. But the problem is, how many of us are truly righteous? How many of us are truly could sit down and say, I'm a righteous individual? Because, you know, sometimes you get to where you're saying a righteous individual, we call that self-righteousness. Am I right? See, the problem we've had as a church and as Christianity is we have let our image of being a Christian by doing the right thing all the time. But I like what that verse says. I like what that verse drives home. He says, you're a light in the world. Now look at that last phrase again. Live so that they will see your righteousness. Is that what it says? No. Live so they will see your good things you do and will praise your Father in heaven. See, this study on servolution that we've been involved in is about that they're going to know we are Christians by our love for one another, and that is seen as how we serve one another. That we are called to serve. That we're called to give ourselves away. That God has called us to serve. See, our light is in our service. It's in what we do for one another as believers and what we do for those outside the wall. See, I think what happens is, think about this. When you see a Christian mess up, what does the news do? You know, a preacher messes up or some Christian leader in politics messes up. Front page, lead story in the news. Because, see, we've said that's how you're going to know we're Christians, because we live, this is. And yet, let me ask you something else. When people are doing good things and they're serving in the community and something is making a difference. How about a lady named, anybody know a lady named Mother Teresa? Anybody know Mother Teresa? Yeah. She's known why? Because of her righteousness? She's known because she served. See, I think what's interesting is we hold up our righteousness and we all fall. Anybody here perfect? Now, you know I'm practically perfect, right? Me and Mary Poppins, practically perfect. Got my picture with her at Disney World and everything. Yeah. We all sin. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a frustration. Maybe that wife pushed your button. Anybody in that one? You know, it's always her fault, right? Yeah. Yeah. Or is it the other way around, ladies? Come on. Yeah, I hear a lot of shaking heads now. Don't let them see you shake your head, though. Yeah. See, none of us are perfect, and yet we say, I want to be an example so people want to follow God. And I want to tell you, your example is your service. Your light is your service. See, I want you to put that there, light, the good things you do. That's the light. See, the light that you're going to shine in this world are the good things you do. The light you shine in the church is the good things you do. And we need to see that, and we need to emphasize that you need to be about serving God. That's going to be your testimony. Love, compassion, forgiveness, care, concern, grace, mercy. When people see that, they will give God the glory. Am I right? And so this 40-day study for me has really been a challenge. Because see, I'm a Bible study person. I'm passionate for God's word. And it's been one of my push in this church. And that's why we talk about home groups all the time. Because I really believe God's word transforms lives. It has the power to do that. But once it transforms our life, we need to be what? Doing the good things. Do you see the picture that I see God has taken us for? We are a light in this world. And here's another problem, I think. Most of us shine our light where? Right here. In church. In these four walls. Here's our light. Well, you know what? We got enough light in here. It's not dark in here. It's dark out there. See, yeah, we need a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Does that make sense? See, we have our light, but most of the time we shine our light here. Now, some of you need to shine your light here, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you need to shine a little brighter in here, all right? There's ministries that need to happen in the church. You know, we need some people who are willing to work with the children's ministries and the nursery ministry. We need some people who want to work with the Awana ministry and shine their light with those kids. I had a great time. I got to teach, Sparks, I think. They call them the Sparks. I got to teach the Sparks. I'm going to tell you, there's a little kid in there that is, he's fun. But I'm going to tell you something. That boy is fun, but he knows God's word. He can quote those scriptures. He's probably the best one in the class. There's two, a girl and this boy. He's a challenge. But he can quote those words. See, you need a minute. You need to let your light shine in the church, but it's pretty bright in here right now, I think. Yeah. If your light shines in here, you're just going to be one of many. Yeah. But there's ways you can serve. See, you need a ministry in the church, but you need a mission in the world. It's dark out there. I'm going to tell you, I look outside, and I don't know about you, but maybe it's because of my position as a pastor and the people I talk with. People are hurting out there. You know, jobs have been lost. Homes have been lost. You know, there's health that's just crushing people with health issues. You know, there's broken relationships. Marriages are broken. Children, families. You know, there's work that can't even find jobs. Yeah. We can be a light in this world. And that's a challenge. And what's interesting is, what I'm saying is, I don't care who you elect, those problems are still going to be there. Am I right? They're not going to just disappear because, hey, we elected a certain person. Now some things are going to change. But if you really want to make a light in this world, you need to do the good things. You need to be a part of those good things. And so I put it down this way again. Every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. I skipped that one. Thank you. that every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. You put those in those blanks, okay? What's your ministry? That's your light. That's your light. And see, when you're that light, you're going to have an influence. If I turned all the lights off in this room, you know, I had Ernie get up here and flip all those switches off, and I had a flashlight, who are you going to follow? If this place is dark, who's got the influence? The one with the light. The one with the light has the influence. And I want to make sure you get that picture. You know, that you have an influence. I want to talk about influence this morning. That you have an influence. You have some power. I don't care how old you are. You have an influence. Yeah. I didn't know if the children were going to be with us this morning. But I've watched this. Preschoolers look up to who? Yeah. You got a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old. They're looking to the 7 and 8-year-old. Am I right? Now you take a 7 and 8-year-old. Who are they looking to? A teenager. Now you take a teenager and who are they looking to? That college student. Am I right? You know, we all have this influence. And you get us as adults and we influence everybody. Yeah. Been here 31 years, and that's one of my prayers. Is one of the things I worry about. I got boundaries in my life, and I have guards that people, you need to know I have people around me that guard and help guard my life. You need to know that. Because I am an influence. And if I fall, how many times if Satan takes a pastor out, what does that do to a lot of people? See, we got to realize we all have influence. You have influence. Anybody raising a child? I don't care how old your child is, you still have influence. Am I right? You know, my kids are getting near older. Yeah. I still have influence. My kids called me this week and said, "Hey, Dad, can you pray? Hey, Dad, can you pray?" All three of them. I got three kids. Guess what? I hear from all three kids asking me to pray. You think I have influence? You have influence. We need to see that. See, you are a light. Whether you like it or not, maybe you feel you're dim. Yeah. But you can get bright. See, because we have an influence. And so I want to look at this influence this morning. I'm going to put it this way. Everybody has influence. Every one of us has an influence. You have people you are influencing. There's people in your home that you have influence with. It might be people at school. It might be people at work. You know, I go back to when I was in college. We had friends. And they would come over and we'd sit and visit. Because we were influence. We were a married couple on campus. We'd have some of the singles come over and visit with us. Because see, we all have this influence. We all have this power to influence. And you have more than you think. And I just want to challenge you. That you have influence. You know, if I was to sit up here and... How many of you guys are going to start yawning? I'm going to influence all of you. Can a smile influence? Is a smile contagious? Anybody? Can a smile be contagious? Can a smile have an influence? See, we need to understand that we have the power to influence. You are a light in this world. You can have an influence. And you will have an influence. And we need to see that. And so I want to make sure you understand that your influence, and I put it this way, your influence is not your position. Your influence is not going to be that position you hold. You know, that position is power, but that's not influence. I worked with a lot of people that had power over me. I worked at that movie theater. And I'm going to tell you, they were doing some things that were not right. They had power by their position, but they didn't have influence on me. You know, position is not an influence. Authority is not influence either. You know, influence doesn't come from authority just because I have the authority. Because when your kids grow up, like I said, I had my kids calling me. My influence isn't because I'm their dad and I have authority to tell them that. When they were younger, I was the boss in the house. Yeah. Still yet, if you come to my house, you live by my rules. I don't care how old you are, all right? That's the rule. Yeah. That's the way it is. Yeah. But my influence doesn't come from that authority, does it? My influence doesn't come from my fame either. The famous Gary Du. You guys are laughing because there ain't much fame there, is it? Your fame's not going to make you influential. Yeah. There's a lot of actors and actresses. There's a lot of sports players. You know, they do influence, but is it always good? Yeah. And then I put the last one, wealth. Wealth doesn't bring influence either. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't mind any of those personally. I like being in a good position, having authority, fame, and wealth, but it's not going to be what's going to bring the influence. See, what I wanted to tell you and what I want you to see is your influence comes from serving. See, your greatest impact you're going to have is when you serve, when you give your life away, when you share your life, when you serve others. That's going to be your greatest impact that you have. And we need to see that in our lives. I like the scripture here. Matter of fact, we've heard use this verse before, but listen to what it says. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority for those under them." You kind of see that influence they're trying to work there, we talked about already. "But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." See, your influence is going to come from serving. See, when my kids called me and asked me to pray, they were asking me to what? Serve them. Isn't that true? Isn't prayer a service? Wouldn't you say so? Yeah. And they know I pray for them. And just so you know, as I look out here, I prayed for, if you usually come to church and you're sitting usually the same place, you get prayed for. Don't move around. I might miss you. Because I do. I pray every Sunday morning. I'm praying for those that I see here in this church. And I also pray for those that are going to be our guests this morning. And, you know, I pray for a lot more. But you get prayed for by name. Yeah. See, we need to see that. See, you have this opportunity to serve. Your greatness is not going to be because you have fame. Your greatness is not going to be because you have wealth. See, your greatness is going to come when you serve. I like that Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was great. Why? Because she had fame? Because she was rich? Because she had power and authority? Mother Teresa was great because she served. She went to India and gave her life to serving in India. See, you want to have an influence? Serve. You want to influence your spouse? Serve them. Am I right? I did all the honeydew stuff yesterday. Anybody? I tried to get out of it. Went to a birthday party. And somebody said, "I want to go to Costco." I said, "Yeah, let's go to Costco." Anything besides go home and work. Come on, anybody? My wife had all this stuff she wanted to get done. Our kids are coming down from Washington for a visit. They got some appointments coming, and she got to get the house all ready. You notice how I said that, right? You heard what I said, right? She has to get the house all ready. You didn't catch that, did you? Yesterday it wasn't she had to get the house all ready. It was we had to get the house all ready. I needed to serve yesterday. Uh-oh, she's looking in the door. We got to turn that TV off, okay? But we got to serve. That's the influence you're going to have. I might have lost it all right now. Yeah. Every one of us have influence. I don't care if you're a child. That's what I want to make sure I started with. A child, a teenager, a college student, an adult. We all have influence. Every one of us. And we need to see that influence. And so I put this one as the second one. God expects you to use your influence. God expects you to use your influence. He wants you to use it. We are a light in the world. What good does a light do if you put it under a bowl? Is that what the scripture said? It's useless. It's worthless. You light that light and you put it on a lampstand. You serve. You know what? Here's the thing. I want to make sure you get a picture. When you serve, you don't have to put yourself on the lampstand. Somebody will put you up there. Did you notice that? I watch the news. We usually watch Channel 31, and they're really good about that. When somebody's out serving in their community, they're raising money with breast cancer or this walkathon for this, or they're doing some kind of event. Channel 31 always puts it out there. You don't have to be asked. You don't have to put yourself up. When you serve, people will put you up there. Is that right? See, we need to see that. See, we have this, and we need to serve, and God expects us to serve. It's kind of like a muscle. Some of us have them. How do you get muscles? You work out, right? Yeah. Some of you guys work out more than others. Some of you are more like me. Yeah. I got a 10-pound barbell. I haven't used it in a while. I went to the doctor on Monday, and it's like, you got to lose some weight. Tell me something I didn't know. See, we need to understand, we got to exercise that. And I'm going to tell you, it takes courage to serve, doesn't it? Doesn't it take a little courage to serve? To get out there, to put yourself out there? To put yourself maybe in a situation that's uncomfortable? You know, we like getting in our little comfort zones. Most of you have most of you come into this church, and you sit where? Same place, because you have a comfort zone. Am I right? We get in our comfort zones. Yeah. We get in our comfort zones out in the world. We get in our comfort zones in our workplace. We get in our comfort zones in our family. Yeah. Anybody got family you don't even want to talk to? It's getting close to Christmas, and it's like, I'm going to tell you what. The one you don't want to talk to this Christmas, I'm going to give you a little hint. Serve them and see what God does. Okay? Seriously. Serve them and see what God... See if God can't open a door when you serve. Am I right? See, we need to exercise that muscle. It's going to take courage, and it's going to get out of our comfort zones, and it's going to let our light shine. Many times you go to Christmas, and it's like, ah, my righteousness, look how good I am. I went to church every day, every Sunday this year. I went to church. Even when I was on vacation, I went to church. I went to church in Orlando. But are we serving? Are we giving ourselves away? Are we sharing our lives? Are we doing that? Look at this verse. This is, again, maybe I should have a test on this, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe because I couldn't quote it either. This is one of our memory verses. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts. To be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. He's saying, do something. I want to challenge you. You have influence, and you can, and God expects you to use that influence. The next one I put here, your influence is for the benefit of others. God's given you those gifts, and God's given you those abilities, not for you to become rich and wealthy, not for you to make a name for yourself, not for you to get power and authority. God's given you those gifts to serve others. See, and we need to see that in our lives, that we need to be serving others. We have this, and I started the series, and I really like that message. So far, my favorite message is the first one. You guys are going, I don't even remember what it is, right? Well, I'll remind you what it was. Consumer Christianity. That most people, we're consumers as Christians. I want to go to a church that feeds me. I want to go to a church that meets my needs. I want to go to a church that has the programs for my kids. Instead of going somewhere to plant yourself and make it happen there, you want to just go there and have it already set up. Now, there's good churches that have those, and I do not fault them. But you know what? I want to have it here. I'm excited here with this church. You know, last week, I was told there were 9 kids in the nursery. That's a lot of kids. But you know what's exciting to me? That means we got a lot of young people that want to serve God and be a part. But it's about others. It's not about ourselves. And I hear this. Now, don't take this wrong, and if I offend you, I don't know. I don't know if I should say I'm sorry or not. I hope I feed you, but if you come to me and say I'm not feeding you, feed yourself. My challenge for me as a pastor is to teach you to feed yourself. What would it be like if I go home today and I sit down on my recliner and say, Laura, feed me? I would probably end up wearing it. All right? I would probably end up wearing it. Because I'm at an age now where who should be feeding me? I should be feeding myself. Now see, as a pastor, I need to feed them, but my goal is to teach you to feed yourself. If you notice, anybody involved in those 40 days, anybody going to home groups? Anybody? Anybody going to home groups? Okay, I see some hands up there. Good. I'm glad to see the hands. You notice something in the books? Now, here on Sunday morning, we'll plaster the scripture verses everywhere, right? I even print them in the fold-out for you. But if you look at your 40-day study guide you're going through, you got to what? You got to open this thing up, and you got to find that verse, don't you? Because I want to teach you. Now, Sunday morning, I want to feed you, so I can't always make you look it up. But during the week, when you meet with your home group, open that Bible up and feed yourself. Is that okay? See? We're not consumers. We need to be servants. See, we need to be serving others. We need to be helping others. See, it's for the benefit of others. It's what we can do for others. Are we a blessing to others? I'm going to ask you, are you a blessing to someone? Have you been a blessing to someone? Can you name the last person you blessed? It might be just a smile. It's fun when I walk home and I walk down the street and I just live right over here. And I'll walk around the corner, and people come up to that corner, and I'll see them leaving. And I'm always looking. I'm seeing who's driving. I'm seeing who's coming out of my neighborhood. And I'll smile. And you know how many people smile back? Almost all of them. I'd say at least 95% of people smile back. Just a smile can change somebody's day. Can it change somebody's day? You know, I don't know about you. You ever get out of bed cranky? See, we need to see, are we a benefit to others? Am I a benefit? Listen to what it says. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We got to do good to others. And I want to make sure you got a picture here. Inside the church, outside the church. That's why I like that verse. Do good to everyone, but do good to also those in the church. Did you see the picture he painted here? We got to be doing good to both. That's why you hear us and you hear me say through this whole study, you need a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. That's what does that verse say that? Or did I just create that? Is that what that verse says? See, we need to see that in our lives. See, is my light shining? Is my light shining? Is my light shining in my home? Do my kids, I don't care how old the kids are, do my grandkids, do they see that light? You know, it's fun. I shared this. It was great when my grandson Matthew was here and my daughter had to go to the doctor. And one day he's sitting here with me because I was here in the office and he's running down the hall. He's playing in the nursery. So we go clean the nursery up and I had a bottle of water. He had a bottle of water and I picked it up and we get things. And the top wasn't on right so you could shake it and water would come out. And so we're walking down the hall and I throw water on him. And he says, don't do that. And we said something back. And he says, Jesus says, be nice. 3-year-old. Do we have influence? Is my light shining even for a 3-year-old? See, we need to see that. And the last one I put here is this. Your influence shines the light into the dark world. It shines the light into the dark world. You need to share Jesus in the dark world. You need to tell others of a God who is loving and compassionate and forgiving. We have a big word for that that's scary. that most of you avoid. It's called witnessing. Anybody? It's called evangelism. We throw those words out there and it's like, kind of raise the nerve a little bit, raise the tension a little bit. Well, my life's a witness. Somebody has to tell them. I've shared what I said at that table. I knew there was something different with that youth group I was going to when I was 17 years old. I didn't know what it was. Somebody had to tell me. Somebody had to share. And I want to challenge you to share. To care enough to share. Now, I'm not going to ask you and say you had to go out there and get a great big back Bible and run around and hit people with it. But let me tell you something. When you're serving somebody, barriers seem to come down, doesn't it? When you're walking along somebody and you're serving with them, or maybe you're serving them, they ask a question like, why are you doing this? They just ask you to tell them about Jesus. Am I right? See, we need to share Jesus. See, sharing Jesus is not about doing something you don't want to do with somebody you don't know. See, when you're serving others and you're that light, they're seeing something in you. You have built the bridge to them and things can happen. So I put it this way. I made care. Care enough to share. The first thing you got to do is you got to capitalize on common ground. Build a bridge to them. It might be something you're serving with, serving alongside of. Somebody you're serving, you're building a bridge. I go get a haircut, and I always go to the California Beauty Salon because it's cheap. $5 for a haircut, $2 for a tip. And I get a haircut down there. And I never ask for a person. Because when I sit in a chair, the first thing I'm sitting there, and they're teenagers, right, or early 20s. My first question to them is, where'd you go to school? Because, see, I want to find out if they went to Davis. Hey, that's where my kids went. I'm trying to build a common ground. See, you build a bridge with common ground. Just, you got to capitalize. Who, where are you been? What's going on? I love my life. I've had so many different experiences, been to so many different places. It's amazing. You build some common ground. Start serving somebody and you'll build a common ground. Second thing I put here is you got to accept people where they're at. You got to accept people where they're at. Why do we as Christians expect non-Christians to act like Christians? When Christians can't even act like Christians half the time. Am I right? Expect people, if they're a lost person, they don't know Jesus Christ, and they're in that dark world, what do you expect? Expect them to act like that. Expect them to do that. And expect non-Christians not to like Christians. They may not like you. But once they get to know you, if you're serving alongside of them or you're serving them, you've broken down some barriers. Am I right? Accept them where they're at. And realize, I'm going to tell you what, it's a slow process in becoming a Christian. I don't know about you. I've been a Christian since I was 17 years old. I still got a long ways to go. Some of you are going, yeah, I know. Because I'm not there yet. It's a long process. Accept people where they are. The next thing I put here is you got to take the risk of sharing your spiritual journey. You got to take the risk. You got to have that courage to share. And I want to make this real simple for you, so I put three things here to help you do it. Ask the person their story. Listen to their story. Listen to their story. What's their story? Hey, what's going on in life? Tell me your story. Tell me about your spiritual journey. I keep telling you, and I want to make sure you understand, I really believe there's a spiritual hunger out there. People are looking for something. Every time I've turned around, they're looking for something. The one that surprised me the most was being at that AT&T store, talking to those girls, selling me my phone, and over at the cash register, they asked me, here's these two 20-something girls, and they go, is there any wisdom you want to share with us? I didn't beat him with a Bible. I'm a minister. I want a certain phone. We're just talking. Why did they ask me? I don't know. But we had built a bridge. We had some conversation. Yeah. And my words were real simple. Just so you know, I didn't beat him with a turn to Jesus or burn. That's not what I told him. I said, you really need to find a church that can encourage you and help you in your walk with life. Because, see, I really believe that's where it's going to start. But, see, you had to listen to him. We were talking and listening to him in the last. And then ask permission to tell your story. Listen to their story and then ask permission to tell your story. And I still remember when I first became a Christian, I went to a camp and they'd have me write my story in 1 minute. My life before I became a Christian, how I realized I needed Christ, and what God's done in my life since then. Real simple. Just tell your story. I was 17, going to car washes, sitting around a dining room table after church one Sunday. Everybody else bailed but my cousin, and she shared with me the four spiritual laws. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, da 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 da. And I accepted Jesus Christ that night. Just tell your story. And then ask permission to tell God's story. And this is Christmas time, folks. This is the best time to tell God's story. Because people are here, and it's Christmas, and it's a real story. And the last thing I put there is expect God to show up. Your job's to share. Your job's to tell. Just your experiences. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. So I want to tell you, you are a light. Look at that. You are a light of the world. You are a light. You are a light. Will you shine? That's my question for you this morning. Will you shine? You have an influence. An influence in your workplace. An influence in your home. An influence in your family. An influence in the circle at school. You have an influence in your neighborhood, with your neighbors. You know, I can remember, just so you know, I remember I was praying for some families here in Salida. Laura and I had become good friends. Our kids grew up together. And I was praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. And they, 10 years, never came to church. And I wasn't the one, I'm not going to go more in detail who they were, because I wasn't the one to get them in church. It was, I introduced them to somebody else, and somebody else got him into church. But I was the one that did all the work. You know, I was that light for a while, and then somebody else stepped in and became that light. You're a light. Will you let your light shine? Will you let your light shine by being a servant? You can change the hearts of others. It's not about doing something you don't like with somebody you don't know. It's about building a bridge through serving that can change somebody's life. And I want to challenge you with that. Do you care enough to serve? Do you care enough to share? To change someone's life? I challenge you. I always like ending with our memory verse. There's a memory verse here. You guys remember that? How many remember their memory verses? We've got 4 so far. This would be number 5. Mark 10:45, Ephesians 2:10, 1 Peter 4:10, last week's verse, and this week's verse. Last week's verse, come on, James 1:17, 2:17. 2 or 1, help me out. 2, all right. See, I got somebody that knows. 1 out of 70, we're doing good. Yeah. And then we got today's verse. 1 Peter 3:15. I want us to do this together because it really sums up the message this morning. I want to do this together. Remember how we do this? We quote the reference. We quote the verse. We quote the reference. All right. So let's do this together and get you started off. Some of you only got today right now. You got to know it before you get home, right? They got to study at 3. My group, you got till tomorrow at 6, okay? But let's do this together. We'll do the reference, the verse, the reference. Are you ready? Everybody ready? Nod, nod. Okay, I see the nodding. Here we go. 1 Peter 3:15. But honor the Messiah as the Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3:15. All right, just another good verse. Let your light shine, that they will see your light and ask you for that faith that is in you. Then you can give a reason for that faith. Why are you serving me? Because God loves you, and I do too. Because you matter to God, you matter to me. Because God has laid it on my heart to be a part of what He's doing right here in this place. So there's all sorts of answers that God can use to change someone's life. So I'm going to challenge you. Will you be a light? Will you be the light in your home, in your school, in your workplace? Will you be the light that's going to be hard to shine this Christmas season as you're driving around Salida? Anybody? Will you be the light that shines so when they ask, you care enough to share? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy. But help us take that grace and make it real in our neighborhoods and in our families. Lord, there's broken families here, broken marriages, hurting children, struggling parents. There's struggles at school, and there's financial worries, and there's work woes. There's job issues. Lord, I pray that our light will shine, that we can serve one another, that we can share your love, that we can share your compassion, that we can share your forgiveness. It may be a warm smile that they see or a warm embrace that they feel, but let us be used by you, Lord, a light in this dark world, that people may know you and give you glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're always pausing into our service to give an invitation.